Welcome to Champions of the Universe, episode 92, 2, 2, 2. Oh, yeah.
We have tunes.
We do.
We got some serious tunes.
Oh, my goodness. Some of them are really serious.
Dark as fuck. And then we have like one little ray of sunshine right in the middle.
Yes. So we have, I feel that our first record is serious enough for four albums. So, Adam, I'm so glad. I mean, spring is coming out. I was taking a walk today. It was gorgeous out. The pollen is covering everything. So
gorgeous pollen.
Oh yes, gorgeous pollen. So, right before we listen to this album, I want you to go to the bathroom. I want you to fill up a glass of water, and I want you to take as much decongestion as possible, because this next album is best experienced with a hazy, cloggy medicine head. So,
oh yeah,
here you go.
Light.
All right. Dear God, that was the band Swans. Now, Swans is an experimental band. They are an experimental rock drone noise band led by Michael Gira. And they started way early. They started in like 1982. And this
these
band,
guys are pioneers, weren't they?
Yeah. These guys put out serious records. They were associated with like the no wave movement. And in the early 80s, they put out like dense experimental records like Filth, Cop, Greed, and Holy Money. And this music is just aggressive, confrontational, and just it peels paint off of walls. If you have like any interest in metal, these guys aren't metal, but they're usually discussed in tandem because they reached a certain level of emotional and intellectual catharsis that has not, like, I have not heard that type of stuff in other records. Now, with that said, it's not all the way fun to listen to all the time. So, I mean, don't think that you're going to be throwing on Holy Money and just having yourself a party. This is some serious dark stuff. Now, this band broke up for a little bit. And then in 2010, they came out with their like first album in 15 years, which was My Father Will Guide Me Up a Rope to the Sky, which was really cool. I liked it. So they're kind of in their like newest wave of making records. And it's not as heavy as earlier records, but it is still as emotionally draining before. And what's really cool is that ever since The Seer, which we actually reviewed, I believe, on this podcast, they have just been gathering.
I don't think we did review it.
Okay, I gave it to you, and like I think they were talking about it. But The Seer, like starting with My Father Will Guide Me Up a Rope to the Sky, they started kind of like accruing all this like critical this like critical internet popularity just because whenever they make records, it is an experience. Like, it is a densely crafted record. Again, maybe not that fun to listen to all the time, but when they set out to make an album, they are going to make it the exact way that they want it to. So this one, 2014, To Be Kind, it is a two-disc record. Two discs. Altogether, it is about 2 hours. It is 121 minutes. And some of them are long. The longest track on here is 34 minutes, with the shortest one being about like 7 minutes. So whenever they do play, they just get into this groove. And what I can describe it as, I mean, it's a lot of repetition. You have a lot of repetition in Swan songs. And then when they set out to do something, they just kind of like keep hammering on something. So I was listening to this and I was trying to draw parallels. I would say that this sounds at times, it sounds what kind of like the Doors were doing. But these guys have just gone so much further into that dark territory. But if you want to think about it as kind of this like artistic rock, just kind of like going on and on, kind of like when the Doors were doing those like long songs like This Is the End or The End. Just I mean it doesn't sound psychedelic at all, but just kind of like that droning atmosphere, working towards something, kind of like gathering up steam to go someplace. Swans just does it across a bigger landscape. So I actually said that this is kind of, or this sounds kind of like Godspeed You Black Emperor if they were less kind of like sleepy and instrumental. So
I can see that.
Yeah. Now, I liked a lot of the songs. I liked songs like Screenshot. I liked Just a Little Boy. I even liked the entire second disc. I thought it was really cool. Even the tracks that were 17, 10 minutes, they felt like they started and ended at a point, and I got it. The only thing holding this back is that 34-minute song, Bring Me the Sun. And
that brings you down, doesn't it?
Man. Okay, I mean, like, I understand.
I put this on at work, and you could just see people's eyes glaze over.
So, I understand a lot of the stuff. And, like, aside from Bring Me the Sun, there is no point in this record that just goes on too long. Like, there is no point in this record that they just lean back and they're like, we're just going to make a whole bunch of noise and people are going to love it. There is direction in it. There is a point there. It is guided. Like, it ends perfectly at each moment. Bring Me the Sun, however, I think that they just funneled all of that nonsense into one song. Like, I just don't get it. I'm like, okay, this could have been 15 minutes less. Like, this could have been 15 minutes shorter, and I feel that this record would have been, like, amazing. So I may have to go back to Bring Me the Sun, but if you are looking for bands that are kind of like a combination of, as I said, Godspeed You Bald Hamper, The Doors, The Jesus Lizard, like all of the stuff that just has this kind of like maniac frontman or this kind of maniac spirit that just goes further than 99% of what music is doing right now. Like, this is the band, and this is the album to listen to. So, Adam.
Oh, man.
Man, okay, party so, music.
This is the thing, man. All right. I got to put my table, or I got to put my cards all over this table.
Okay, all right.
I'm gonna admit that prior to Swans getting back together.
Nothing. Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah, so like
I saw it on t-shirts, like in record shops, but nothing else.
I mean, like, hearing their sound, I can hear why they're such a big deal from like what they were doing when they started doing it. I like the stuff that I'd heard previously was a little more almost industrial sounding, a little bit, but this album, if I can make a really weird possible,
do it. I compared it to The Doors. All right, so like nothing's gonna be weirder.
Like, they're like a dark LCD sound system on this.
all right, that's a little bit weird.
because they have these like deep grooves that they're riding.
Yeah,
they're like almost dancey. I mean, most of the time they're pretty driving.
Yeah.
Aside from Bring the Sun, like you were saying.
Yes.
And there are a couple spots right in the middle of the album, which I'm guessing have something to do with maybe like one of the sides of the record, the first record, whatever. It gets really like kind of abstract and really takes you out of the record in the middle of it. And then by the time it gets back to the stuff, when it gets all like, you know, dark, I think some things we do leading right out of that is just like brings the whole album down right in the middle of it, and it kind of made me lose patience with it.
What song was that again?
Some Things We Do.
Okay, yeah. And that's like one of the shorter tracks too.
She Loves Us just kind of eases you back into it. It's a really well constructed album in terms of flow. There's like an ebb and a flow to
So actually, Some Things We Do is the end of the first disc. And then She Loves Us is the beginning of the second one.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can see the transition going in and out of that. It feels conceptual.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a pass on that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the songs are badass. The sound is great. It's really dissonant. Well, it's not even so much dissonant. Just
it's drone without distortion.
Yes, it's very much drone, but at this kind of, like, fever pitch to it. You know, like, it's really nihilistic feeling.
Oh, it's it
like,
is.
If I'm in a bad mood and I'm listening to this album, I'm like, I start frowning a little bit more. maybe I take the pencil I'm holding on to and I break it.
mild anarchy.
Yeah, you know, like less harmful form of destruction.
I'm not going to fill up the coffee pot when I empty it. I'm just going to leave it there on the burner. Yeah.
Exactly. Get really bitter. But the thing is, like, it works for me. It's a really cool sound. It's a sound I like. It's You know, I wish that I had more of a familiarity with their kind of backlog of tunes, so I knew how this fit into the scope of them being a band. Maybe that's something for me to, like, figure out and listen to. And...
Yeah, and, like, I would even say, I mean, like, I wasn't familiar with a lot of stuff. When I listened to Holy Money, back when I was, because I was into industrial music, I was into Nine Inch Nails, so I'm like, oh, cool, everyone says to listen to this, I listen to this, and I'm like, I am not ready for this, I need to listen to this in 10 years, like, my teenage mind is not ready for this at all, but I feel that you could just listen to these three albums that came out now, because they took a 15-year break. I mean, I actually think that this is their second break, so there was, like, 80s stuff, 90s stuff, and then this 2000s. So, you could have a Swan's Picnic. And, oh my god, and it's such a badass name.
I do have to say, though, I did listen to the last record, and the big, huge way that I feel like this one differs from the last one, I didn't really dig the last one, if I'm being honest here. Because, and I think part of it had to do with the way it was recorded. I liked the sound of the individual parts, but the album was recorded in segments over the course of years, like solo stuff that he'd been doing.
In
an editing suite. And while the sounds were really good, the songs didn't feel like they gelled, you know, like it didn't feel natural at all. Everything was like the cuts in between the parts were really like jagged. And this album is really them playing as a band. You know, like everything is conceptual and hyper intermingled in a way, if that's the word I could use for it. Because like all the parts are really like they have a pace to it. They're taking their time in their build ups. Everything sounds like it's just flowing the whole time. Even when they get like they'll go from something melodic to something like really dark and heavy and just chaotic sounding. Yeah. They have a really good way of easing it in, and the rhythm section like really makes a lot of this stuff. Like Oxygen is so cool. Like Oxygen sounds like just some of the best post-punk stuff. It's just so good. It's like the beat is awesome, and then there's these really just like brutal horns. Like a brutal horn section. You know, it's like trumpets and trombones at their nastiest, most like elephantesque sound.
And I was thinking about it too, like songs like Oxygen, it works if you have confidence, and this band has like decades of confidence built into it. Like other bands doing the same thing, like you have to have an attitude, you have to have like a swagger to make that kind of thing. Like, I mean, to like pull that off. I mean, Michael Gear just like goes off, and like he just uses these albums as like funnels of bile that he just like spews at like the audience. So, like it doesn't work for everyone, but like they pull it off.
Yeah, I mean it's a really cool sound, and it just It makes you feel a little nihilistic, or myself, it makes me feel a little nihilistic when I listen to it, but that's not a bad thing.
No, I mean,
It's a really awesome record. The only thing I would say against it is just that lull in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, it takes you right out of it, because the other songs, like on the whole second CD or whatever, it's so grindy. The first CD is a lot more kind of slowly paced, and it's got more swagger to it. But that back half, it's just like they pick it up at the end and they're just like, you know, jamming you with it. That's why I would compare it to LCD Sound System,
because yeah,
very long songs that they're like establishing a groove and like building it and building it and building it and building it. And it's all very, very slow, like meticulously lined up.
Yep.
So, yeah, cool record, man.
It's really a cool record. And I feel that if you're listening to Swans, you have reached kind of like a level of appreciation for not just music. And like, that's not to like be, that's not to be like elitist with music or anything, but it's not introductory music at all. And like, and some introductory music can be like amazing too. And some kind of like higher level music can be absolute shit. But I'm just saying that When you listen to Swans, you've already kind of like subscribed to like certain levels of music, and kind of like you've kind of traded in. You're like, okay, well, like everything doesn't have to be catchy, or like it doesn't have to have like a hook or anything. Like there's something else going on. So it's definitely an album that is there, and it's made for kind of like just listening to by yourself. I mean, possibly with your nihilistic friends. Nihilistic German friends. So
it is a challenging sound, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I think if you can get in the moment with it, then it's just very interesting the whole way through. So
alright. So Adam, before our next stop on the dark flume ride, we're gonna kind of get out for a little bit and have a snow cone. So what do we have?
Let me just part these dark cloud buns and insert a ray of sunshiny cheese into this darkness.
Love these metaphors.
Or I guess so it would be darkness grilled cheese.
Okay.
That was Os Tartaros. These guys are an
air quotes. Air okay. quotes.
Yeah, air quotes. I'm gonna have to throw up the air quotes on this because the title of this album is the first Portuguese surf garage group, 1964 through 1967. That is something.
It's very direct. It's
yes, and that is something that like I cannot verify for you, and I'm not gonna try because you know what. I wish I knew more about Portugal, mm-hmm. but holy crap, I know good music. And this album is just full of gems. It really is. Like, it's they tackle so many different great sounds. You know, they start out doing more of the kind of like classic, like British Invasion style rock. But you know, over the course of the years, they get more into kind of like surf with some of the stuff they're doing. But there's a lot of really wonderful melody and a lot of awesome kind of like gang vocals with the stuff. And you can just hear a band kind of just playing and growing a little bit throughout the course of it. I think there's like a wide variety of music. But I love all of it. You know, it's like, it definitely, and they even get into like weird, like magic moments. It's like definitely a weird type of rock song. But yeah, I mean, I know this is a big, big softball.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, one song I do want to point out though. Encanto dos Teus Ojos just has this like harmonica line in it that is so much like just makes me feel like it's the start of a 90s sitcom. Oh man, so good. So anyway, good.
It's so good.
Anyway, this is just a really enjoyable record. So Captain Carmen.
Oh god,
I'm pretty confident.
Yeah. I mean, like, of course. But I'm also looking at the label that put this out, and it's Groovy Records, based in Portugal, and they have a catalog of really cool stuff, like demented, like old demented R&B. They have like this like psychedelic stuff from like 66 to 75, like. They put out a lot of cool stuff, and these guys supposedly, yeah, I mean, they came from Portugal. So, I mean, it's not that hard to believe that the British Invasion and things like the Shadows would be influencing stuff. And I think that we talked about a compilation of Barcelona or, like, Spanish pop a little bit ago. So, like, I mean, it's completely within the realm of possibilities. When they said Portuguese, I'm like, oh, so like it's like Brazilian stuff. But no. Like they, it's in Europe, but still cool. It's still cool to hear kind of like the Spanish sound to like this old garage rock and surf. And it's cool too, because around like 64, 65, surf was kind of bleeding into garage rock, which would eventually give way to psych. So like, it's kind of cool to hear this band kind of playing both styles. Like they have just straight up garage stuff, and then they have like really, really cool surf stuff. And I don't know, I think it's Serei Feliz Com a Teu Amor. It's just a straight up surf song, and it's really cool because it does have kind of like a Spanish backbeat to it. Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
Portuguese backbeat to it.
Oh man. Lamento.
Yes.
Lamento is my favorite one. It just makes me feel like I'm Emilio Estevez and Repo Man walking down like a California street after stealing the guy's car and calling him a dildo.
Yeah. It's so good. And again, like when you especially see that album title, it just presents everything to you. You're like, this is what you're going to listen to. This is what you're going to be loving right now. You're going to be loving Portuguese surf garage from the mid 60s. And you're like, okay, I love this. I love it before I even put it into the CD player. So
surf garage in general, man, that's like,
you've been listening to a really
big piece of garlic bread.
92 episodes from Champions of the Universe. You know that we are gigantic suckers for this type of music. So awesome. Os Tartaros. So all right, now that that's over, it's time to bring the clouds back.
Summon the clouds.
The clouds are a little bit greener this time, so here you go. right. That was a Galish. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, Agaloc. I don't know if we covered Agaloc before.
Okay.
Yes.
Is this the, when you said green, is this like the Magic the Gathering style, like green and black magic?
Yes, yes.
Are they Irish?
No, they are from the Pacific Northwest.
Okay, but did the album that we covered before, was that the one where it had like...
Oh, the green and black metal? No, that was another Pacific Northwest... A West band called Skagos.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Sorry.
No. It's okay. And it's important too because, okay, so we talked a lot about black, and one of the larger kind of styles that people still like was a late 2000s style called Cascadian black metal, and that was just kind of like atmospheric black metal that had kind of like a more woodsy atmosphere, and Wolves in the Throne Room, Skagos.
It's a little bit more like the Pure Moods of black, though.
Yeah. So, like in 2006, Ashes Against the Grain, or Agaloc released Ashes Against the Grain, and that kind of started. And it's also incredibly married with post rock too. So you have kind of like black metal, but like it's mixed with post rock. It's not about Satan. It's about like trees and celestial stuff. So Agaloc is tied to that. And they came out with an album in 2010 called Mare of the Spirit, which is pretty cool. So this is their new album called The Serpent and the Spear. So
the serpent travels around the
spear. So again, even though that they do like death and winter and like depression and stuff, like you don't have the same lyrical base as other black metal bands. And even Adam knows this, like with like, I've showed him a lot of things, like you definitely have this more kind of like rustic feel to them. So other albums, really cool marriage of post rock and black metal. This one, though, I listen to it and I think, I'm like, wow, how far away do you have to move from actual black metal before it's not considered black metal and just post rock with harsh vocals onto it? Now it sounds like I may be kind of like making fun of it a little bit, but let me explain. And I was explaining to this to my friend at Maryland Death Fest, because we were seeing Agaloc, or like they were playing, and like we were just like kind of like talking about this. I feel that this type of sound, is really cool when you first hear it. Like it really affects you when you first hear it. And I was really affected when I heard Wolves in the Throne Room, Two Hunters, back in 2007. Now, I feel that this is a pretty decent album, but I am just not into this type of black metal anymore. I feel that after hearing things like Altar of Plagues doing what they're doing, and like what other black metal bands have been doing, I feel that coming back to this type of sound, which is just, it's just heavy post-rock with like decent vocals to it. I mean, like it's like decent rasping vocals, but I feel that it's just, I've been drinking black coffee for like years now. I can't come back to a Frappuccino anymore. So like, it is just like, it's just kind of too sugary. I actually feel that joke was a lot funnier than the way that I said it. But anyway, so I am very interested in what Adam has
to
say.
It's funny that you just compared them
to a Frappuccino?
Altar of Plagues.
Okay.
When I think of Altar of Plagues, I think their sound is like kind of spiritually a little more in line with Swans.
Yeah, you know what?
It's got that same kind of vibe to it.
So the thing about Altar of Plagues, which is interesting, when they came out with Mammal, the album before the album that we reviewed, they were very, very much like Agaloc, Wolves in the Throne Room. And then they kind of changed to this kind of like more grinding nihilism. Now, Adam, I think that we covered many different. I think one time I gave you three songs to listen to, and one of them was Bathory for first wave. One of them was Emperor for second wave, and then Wolves in the Throne Room was the long track.
I like them best from the oldest to the newest.
Oh yes. Yeah, so, okay. So this is a very and like it's very important to note. This is a very popular style of black metal, but it is not the only style of black metal coming out right now. You have like traditional stuff, you have more experimental stuff, but this is a very, very popular one, and I still make jokes that this is the NPR version of black metal.
it really is.
Okay, so I mean, like, between Garrison Keillor and between Wait, Don't Tell Me, you'll hear Agaloc. So, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I can hear what you're saying about how, like, you're kind of over the sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's not particularly original, but it is deftly crafted.
Yeah, like, yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. The songs are all like really well written. They don't hang. It's all very like well recorded. They have, you know, they have really strong melodies that they're playing with the whole time through it. It's not like, you know, it's not gonna it didn't blow me away.
Yeah, but
I enjoyed listening to it when I listened to it. You know, I mean, it's a cool sound, and I dig the whole kind of green and black, yeah, you know, aesthetic type thing with what they're going for in terms of what they're talking about. Because, you know, after a little while, like, you can only do, like, demons and stuff for so long, and then it gets a little cheesy. And that's like one of the things that makes, like, Altar of Plagues refreshing also, yeah, is, you know, mm-hmm, their subject matter is, like, different. But it's a really strong album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, didn't blow me away, but really cool. And you know, if you dig this kind of sound, it's a solid record the whole way through. And it's, you know, there are a lot of really positive things about it in terms of like the way they're using their melodies and they structure things. You know, it's like, it's very much the NPR joke is still getting me because it's really appropriate. It's like, this is like what you would give your friend that has never heard black metal.
I
want them to like it and get into it. You're like, oh, well, here, take this. Like, I know you like acoustic guitar.
Yeah, no, I gave this to my brother, Epileptic Pete, because he does not like harsh vocals, and that's what's kind of like keeping him from like black and death metal. And I told him, I'm like, well, I don't really like this album, but I feel that as an introductory album to harsh music, or like to like more harsh music, this is the album to start with. Because before I thought, I'm like, oh, people just don't like vocals. And then I hear this and like people really dig it. I'm like, no, it's not just either vocals or harsh music. It's like the combination of them. Like, I feel that if you take away one of them and like replace it with kind of like something more melodic, people will like it, because it's so strange that people like this and it's melodic music with harsh vocals rather than the other way around. So it is the album to listen to.
Well, also as pertaining to like the vocals on this record, they are essentially few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're still there. You know, they'll bust out that double kick and, you know, hit you with the blast beat, and like throw some screams in and stuff. But this record does not have vocals on it through most of these songs. You know, these songs are like 7 minutes long, and
it does not pound
might
that
have
show.
Like 45 seconds of vocals.
It is not. So yep.
And it's mixed fairly low, so you're not like getting the rasp off the vocal mic the whole time. So it's like, it's really very tolerable if you don't like that kind of thing. You know, it's not like some of those records where it's just in your face the whole time, but like they do space it out a lot. So I feel like they have a pretty good awareness of using that vocal style in terms of the texture it brings to the song. And, but they don't overdo anything on this record, which is nice. You know, like the blast beats are there when they need to be and they're out when they need to be. So these guys like are very tasteful about the way that they use kind of standard elements of black metal and combined with these like heavy melodies that they're doing.
Yeah. So it is, and I mean, I
can I ask what Pete thought? Has he listened to them yet?
I gave it to him. He's currently doing other stuff, like recording an album, whatever. But anyway, so like I don't think that honestly, he's
I think he might like this record.
No, I think so too. And the biggest thing that people can't get over when they like travel into black and death metal is the vocals. Like it's just something that's kind of like more alien to them. If they're not into heavy music, they're like, this sounds like X, this sounds like Cookie Monster, or this sounds like I just, yeah. And like people say that because they're like, oh, like I just can't deal with it like right now. But like, I feel that, when you listen to this, you're like, oh, well, there's a variety of different things that they're doing with the voice. Like, it could be slow, it could be fast, it can kind of, like, be a little bit in your face. But I feel that the most important thing about this record is that it's not oppressive at all. It doesn't confront you. It kind of, like, hangs back. It is a very passive record. So for anyone traveling into the realms of harsher music, this one doesn't kind of, like, come at you, kind of like Death Spell Omega. I would totally give this album to someone getting into black metal rather than that Death Spell Omega record that you really liked. So it was like, as opposed to something that's more forceful. I feel that those forceful records are interesting, but definitely not at first. So again, this is a good record. I feel that it's like a really good record. And if people put this on their top 10, I will completely understand. But I think I have gone other places.
Yeah, well, you know, is it a top 10 record? Probably not. You know, I mean, I've heard stuff like it before. It's really well done.
I can understand if people put it in and they're not familiar with black metal or like metal at all. And they just like, yeah. Like I can understand why like why people are into this record. I just don't subscribe to the hype anymore. Like I feel like the whole Cascadia thing that was supposed to be like really huge kind of like overshadowed some of the other United States black metal that was happening kind of at the same time. But I feel that, and I even have maybe like three other records, and I may give it to you too, that I feel that just came out this year that does this kind of style a little bit more interesting. So again, it's a big high profile album, and that's why we're covering it. So, hey, maybe things will change. Maybe Adam will buy a tote bag with an Agalog symbol on it. Maybe he'll be a donor.
Organ donor.
maybe he'll be listening to Car Talk soon.
I mean, like Car Talk.
Okay, so the thing is, so like when I first saw them in Baltimore, like the crowd, and like that's where that's where the joke came from. Like it was just filled with very bookish looking people that looked like they had a Patagonia catalog at home. Like they looked very woodsy, kind of like organic. Like it was not your normal metal crowd, and that's perfectly fine. Like I find it cool and interesting when different styles of people are into different styles of metal. This is just kind of like a weird spillover into a culture of people that I would not expect to like this type of music. So there you go. All right. I think that for me, Swans was not only probably the most interesting thing that I listened to, because I mean, Aulus Tartaros is just, I mean, like, that's a big softball, but I think that Swans was the most interesting and probably one of the more important records that I listened to this year. I mean, they're just doing things that other bands are not doing at the moment. So, Adam, any favorites this week?
Yeah, I mean, Aulus Tartaros, that's nothing new. It's just, like, more classic stuff. That's, like, I can listen to the shit out of, like, so much 60s folk music.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's like, you can just lay it on me, like any brothers. and I feel that way about this style. So, but yeah, I mean, Swans is definitely the most interesting record that we listened to for sure. I mean, it had a very specific sound and I really dug it. I mean, I thought it was a really good record. Pretty challenging with the insertion of that like last half of the first, you know, LP or whatever.
Ooh, 34 minutes long. Oh man.
Yeah, they're really like they're trying to like make you take a break, I feel like, before the next
Hopefully
one.
Hopefully we just listened to like the director's cut and they just like added in the extra stuff. Because I could have cut down that record. Like I could have sliced off like 40 minutes of that record and still.
Yeah, well all one track would do a lot of that. So there you go.
All right. Adam, Area Man, it was fun. I'm glad that we got together. It's Memorial Day tomorrow, so I'm going to be grilling up some burgers, possibly filling up the old plastic bowl full of potato chips, and putting in some Miller Lite into the big old cooler. So why don't you take us home?
Oh, yeah. Got that Miller Lite.
Beast!
You don't like Coors, man?
Hey, okay, all right.
Oh, yeah, the mountains got to turn blue.
I like my beer out of things that look like Red Bull cans.
My beer to be so bad that it has a shotgun tab built in the can.
I have to drink this faster, otherwise it's terrible.
All right. Thank you very much for listening to episode 92. This is Area Man getting my black leather. I'm going to go out and I'm going to nihilistically just go out in some parking lot and I'm going to throw a rock against a wall.
Anything. Like, just anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, like a factory that no one's using anymore. I'm going to tear it up.
This is Captain Carbon. Listening to the new Agalloch record right after Echoes and right before Star's End. That is completely like a local joke too, because that was the radio program for like NPR on like our radio. All right, it's still staying in. Awesome. Frappuccino.